This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. When Gareth Higgins was growing up in Northern Ireland, violence was a regular part of life. He saw people being killed all around him and began to consider the true meaning of spirituality. All these years later, he is still interested in the topic. He thinks spirituality is intimately connected with social justice and even creativity. And he said one is meaningless, in fact, without the others. He's found a way to combine the three at the Wild Goose Festival. It's rooted in the Christian tradition, but open to everybody no matter what they believe. It will include music, dance, discussion, and more. June 23rd through the 26th at Chicory Hills outside of Pittsburgh. Joining us to talk about that, we have Executive Director Gareth Higgins in the studio. Welcome, Gareth.
Hi, Frank. Thanks for having me.
Also on the program, Brian McLaren, joining us by phone, former pastor and author of Naked Spirituality, A Life with God in 12 Simple Words, and he's going to be speaking at the Wild Goose Festival. Welcome, Brian. Good to have you on the program as well.
Great to be with you.
So, Gareth, tell us about this festival.
Well, it's busy because it's starting in just a few hours this afternoon. It's not something that I started. That's the first thing I got to say. There are dozens, if not hundreds, of people who've come together to put this festival on at the intersection of justice, spirituality, and art. It's inspired by a UK-based festival called Greenbelt that's been running since the early 70s. And the best or the simplest way to describe Greenbelt is like it's Woodstock for socially engaged Christians. It happens in a field. It lasts 4 days. There are about 20,000 people who go, and you get music, speakers, activism, theater, dance, all the things you've described thus far. But it has become a major landmark on the cultural landscape in Britain. We're trying to do something similar here in the US. Wild Goose will be its own thing, but it takes its inspiration from Greenbelt. Really an opportunity to bring people together through those three doors of justice, of spirituality, of art. If any one of those three things appeals to you, you'll find a home at Wild Goose as an attempt at renewing a movement of spiritually engaged people who aren't driven by bigotry, and a spirituality that's about nurturing the earth and its gifts and serving the needs of the poor and doing it in a very creative way.
Brian, how did you get involved in this?
Well, I'm one of the people who has been dreaming about this happening for a long time. I was invited to be a speaker at Greenbelt over in England back in the 90s. And I remember late at night, a group of us who were from the States started putting our heads together saying, how can something like this happen back home? And that kind of group has come together and dreamed in various forms, and I'm thrilled finally to see it actually coming into being.
Gareth, you know, when you talk about it, we've used this word spirituality a number of times already. We have not said religious. There is, in the minds of many people, a distinction. Should there be? Is religion the sort of third rail of spirituality and social justice for those who are concerned about social justice?
Well, I mean, institutions, religious institutions are like any other created thing. They're, you know, they can be good, they can be bad. I prefer to think of them mostly as fallen and in need of redemption. And the great 20th century philosopher Lex Luthor once said from his lair beneath Grand Central Station that some people can read War and Peace and come away thinking it's just a simple adventure story. Other people can read the back of a chewing gum wrapper and unlock the secrets of the universe. So I'm not particularly interested in saying this church is better or worse than another, or this mountain, or this movie. The deeper thing here is there are lenses in this beautiful world that personally I, from the Christian tradition, believe God created, through which all of us can encounter the divine. And what's the purpose of the divine in human beings? It's not to create more religion, but to create more humanity. The first thing I'm going to say this afternoon at the festival, so here's a preview. If you're coming to the festival, don't listen to the next 10 seconds. The first thing I'm going to say is that Jesus wasn't a Christian. Jesus was a human being, and he didn't come to establish a religion. He came to show us how to be more human, whether we locate ourselves in a religious tradition or not. We can't divorce ourselves from spirituality because spirit and humanity are indivisible.
But Brian, here, particularly in the United States, you know, you talked about this festival having its roots in England. religion and spirituality are taken far differently in this country than they are in Europe, aren't they? The way they divide and the way people perceive religion and wear their religion.
Boy, I couldn't agree with you more. And that really is one of the reasons why we felt this a festival like this needed to happen. So often when people hear the word religion, they think about people building walls and putting up barbed wire fences and all kinds of litmus tests of behavior and belief and speech and so on. Ironically, the word religion is based on the root lig, L-I-G, which we know in the word ligament, which means to bind or tie together. So originally, and at the heart of the meaning of religion, is binding or tying things back together. But when religious institutions and establishments invest more and more energy keeping people apart, creating suspicion, fear, and distance between people, then people have to go to, in order to find that heart of religion, they have to go outside religion or what is thought of as religion. And that's why I think, ironically, the word spirituality aspires for what the word religion is actually intended to mean, but often betrays.
And Gareth, one of the other threads in the Wild Goose Festival is music, creativity. And certainly when you think of creation and creativity, that's one of the big issues. If we think about religion and if we think about spirituality, creation is the first thing that comes to mind.
Sure.
The genesis, I might say, of all religions.
Sure. And the amazing thing about the debate that goes on between creationists and people who accept the evolutionary account is that I think they're entirely missing the point of that story of creation. I mean, all religious traditions, all human communities have creation stories. And let's take one example within the creation story that the Judeo-Christian tradition accepts, and that is that there was nothing. God breathed it into being and called it good. Look at many other creation myths, even recent creation myths about how we make nations safer, for instance. They often rely on violence for their creation. You often have you blow something up and then make something new. And I'd rather talk about creation as a beautiful, non-violent breathing into being. That's at the global, the cosmological level. At the individual level, one of the most important things about being human is that to be human means to be a storyteller. You're telling a story all the time about your life. Now, you may only be telling it to yourself. Most of us have a circle of friends and family who we share it with, and then some of us, if we're engaged in public life, are telling the story on a bigger platform. But at the end of the day, it's still a story rooted in something that's either more or less true, rooted in your memories and in your hope for the future. There are bad ways of doing religious stories. There are ways that divide and ways that kill. And there are good ways of doing religious story and of experiencing something that Brian refers to as the story we find ourselves in. We are in this bigger story. And we want Wild Goose to be a space where the story bends toward justice, mercy, peace, compassion, respecting the humanity in the other, whatever tradition they come from. If you're a musician or a writer or a performer, you just happen to be a professional storyteller. Most of us are just doing this as amateurs, as lovers of the story. So it's obvious, if you're going to talk about justice and if you're going to talk about spirituality, you have to have a creative element as well.
So you're going to have musicians, you're going to have storytellers, and you're going to have people talking directly about these social issues. Is it all up to me to kind of pull the threads together? How does it all work? How do you see the festival working in terms of what I come away with?
So you could come and sit down in the middle of the field and go to nothing all weekend and still have a fantastic experience because you'll just imbibe the atmosphere. Or you can go and listen to T-Bone Burnett, probably the leading music producer in the US today, on an on-stage interview tonight, talking about art and social justice. Or Richard Rohr, a Franciscan priest who wants to fuse contemplative, quiet spirituality with robust action in the world. Or Michelle Schacht, the Americana artist, who, interestingly enough, says that she came to Christian faith through her involvement in social justice. It's often the other way around. People get into social justice through having a faith tradition. You could listen to Dr. Vincent Harding, who wrote speeches for Dr. King, talking about the need for a new civil rights movement today. And I think one of the things people will find that's different about Wild Goose is you often go to conferences and conventions and there's a major dividing line or a hierarchy between the speakers or the musicians and the audience. We are doing, we're making strenuous efforts to collapse that hierarchy. Everyone who's coming, this is quite amazing actually, these national and internationally renowned figures who can often charge fairly hefty fees for making appearances. Every single one of the 150 or so artists and speakers has waived their fee to come to Wild Goose because they believe in the need for this kind of movement. And many of them are camping on site. And there's no VIP reception area. You really will have an opportunity to have real genuine access to people if you come to the festival.
Brian McLaren, you know, you talked earlier about the root of religion being a tie that binds people together. And we talk about these sort of larger issues that should be able to bring people together. But the fact is people are divided over questions of whether or not we have a responsibility to use force in order to make the world safer, or whether we have a responsibility to renounce violence in order to make the world safer. These are issues that divide Christians among the progressive and conservative Christians. They really are issues. So is it right to say, well, no, there's this one way that all of us can sort of come together. Just come on over my side and agree with me.
Life would be so much simpler if everyone finally get that
right.
Memo. But you know, this actually is one of the reasons why I think a lot of us want this festival to happen. First, we want to create a space where there is difference. I remember the first time I went to Greenbelt, I didn't know anything about it really, except that I'd been invited to speak, which maybe makes you question their sanity and wisdom. But I was there as a speaker, and the first person I went to listen to, I just happened to walk into this room. It was a Muslim feminist anti-globalism activist from France. So I certainly wasn't expecting to encounter someone like this brilliant, articulate, and feisty woman there. So if we can create spaces where people will be exposed to thoughtful, stimulating people who they might disagree with on a lot of things, but they realize these people have something to say, what happens then is you listen to somebody and then you go take a walk on the grounds with someone you happen to meet there, and the whole experience becomes these interlocking series of conversations where everybody comes with something to share, everybody receives a lot, gives a lot, and leaves richer for the experience. That's why I'm so grateful to Gareth and all the others who've been planning this, because they really are bringing together a stimulating, fascinating group of voices.
And you're going to talk about globalization and our participation in certain kinds of businesses, the moral implication of our participation in that system. Tell us about that.
Well, one of the ideas we have for Wild Goose is that speakers who are used to pontificating all of their answers on issues will have to show up at a tent, and our job is not to give the answers to anything. Our job is to bring a question for which we don't have a good answer. And some years ago, I wrote a book called Everything Must Change, which was about the intersection of the core message of Jesus with contemporary global crises. And one of the crises that it's become terribly obvious since then is the whole crisis of poverty and the whole financial crisis in our world, where more and more wealth is concentrated in a smaller and smaller percentage of hands, and more people have to live on the leftovers. And so as I was writing that book, here's the question I came up with. It's pretty clear to me that we can help the most poor people by making the global economy more just, by working together to improve and strengthen the global economy. But the underlying question that I'm left with is that global economy is also incredibly destructive to the environment. And so ironically, then, you have to wonder, is the global economy itself a suicidal venture? And there's a whole group of people who look ahead and they see nothing but trouble with the global economy. And they're advocating the return to sustainable, livable local economies. And so when I finished the book, I had that question more deeply embedded in me than ever. How do we balance working for a more just global economy for the benefit of the poorest human beings on the planet? How do we negotiate between that and a concern for long-term sustainability and the importance of local economies and so on? And obviously, for some people, that sounds like an economic issue, but for me, it's a deeply spiritual issue because it affects the way I buy my groceries and what clothes I wear and so on. So to me, it's a very spiritual question that expresses itself in how I use my credit card or how I pull out my wallet.
Gareth, tell us a little bit about the origins of the name Wild Goose Festival. Where does it come from?
So in the Celtic Christianity tradition, listeners will have heard from your introduction on my accent that I didn't grow up in Pittsburgh, much as I like Pittsburgh and this region of the country so much. So the Celtic Christianity tradition has generously lent itself to the Wild Goose Festival, because the image given to the Spirit of God, the idea of unbridled unpredictability in the Celtic tradition is the Wild Goose.
Gareth and Brian, thank you both so much for being on the program.
Thanks for having us.
Gareth Higgins, Executive Director of the Wild Goose Festival. Brian McLaren, former pastor and author of Naked Spirituality, A Life with God in 12 Simple Words, going to be speaking at the Wild Goose Festival. Gets underway later today, June 23rd through the 26th, Shikori Hills in Pittsburgh. For more information, go to wildgoosefestival.org. And thank you for listening to The State of Things. You can find us at our website, stateofthings.org. Check us out on Facebook as well. This is North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.